Wall Street gets a blank check, but Main Street can't borrow a dime. Public employees get a free pass, while the private sector picks up their tab. Who's fighting for business, and how do we turn things around? Welcome back to the second hour of Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing on FM News 101 KXL.
It's 7 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome back for the second hour of Business Briefing here on the final Sunday in October. We count down to trick-or-treating tomorrow. I'm Brian Bushlack. Glad you're with us this weekend. And I want to thank our friend Gordon Brinzer, the president of Solar World USA, for great insight as Solar World takes on the Chinese. If you missed that segment in our last hour, you can head to our website, kxl.com, and podcast that off our business briefing page. Well, as I teased before the break, it's time to get down to business. When it comes to the economy, we call on our economic expert, Patrick Stone, the president of WFG National Title and Williston Financial Group. He's in Texas this weekend working on some deals. Lots of business down in Texas, it sounds like, huh, Pat?
It's great down here, Brian. Sometimes you think that they pretty well missed the recession, although the locals will tell you it's a little harder. The optimism and the aggressiveness down here is invigorating, so it's good to be down here.
That's good to hear. Now, let's shift our focus here before we talk local and national to overseas in the Eurozone. It seems like we get conflicting reports. One day it looks like European leaders have figured things out and they will bail their banks and their sovereign countries out, and then the next day there's concern. Where does this stand right now?
Well, it's a confusing situation. I will tell you that I do believe that the politicians of Europe have decided that they need to do something. I am not confident they've figured out exactly what they're going to do yet, but I think the one thing that is encouraging is that there's been an acceptance that there is a necessity to have a unified solution and to create some financial backstops. You know, I think any economist will tell you that having a single currency in multiple governments and not a unified political strategy is problematic to start with. But without adequate financial backstops, it gets to be almost a crisis. Now, I do believe that they are well on their way to creating an environment so that they can deal with financial problems. I would caution your listeners that they do not have it solved yet. I don't think it's going to be solved very quickly, but I think the element of crisis or the panic that was emerging in the market was based on a perception that there was a failure to face the problem, and I think that's abated somewhat. I think that there is a willingness to face the problem now, and I think they will manage their way through it. If I was a betting man, I'd still say there's going to be a structured default in Greece. But a structured default in Greece is livable. What's not tolerable is a failure to respond in any manner. So slightly encouraged.
Okay, that's good to hear because it kind of meshes, I guess, the two kind of storylines I've been reading from this. And, you know, there's usually two trains of thought with this. You let an institution fail and then clean up the mess and everybody moves on, or you try to restructure things and get going that direction. In this case, we're not talking about an institution or a bank. We're talking about an entire country, though. So obviously it's a lot bigger deal.
It is a bigger deal, and I think give you some perspective here. The two recent sovereign debt defaults were Russia, I think Russia in 1998 and Argentina in 2001. Those were both about one-tenth the size of Greece, of a default that that we're talking about with Greece.
Wow.
So this is a little bit bigger deal, and I think I mentioned on a prior program there are, I believe, 43 banks in Europe that have over 60% of their assets in sovereign debt that is at least questionable at this point. So a structured default would allow them to take a rational write-down in a rational manner. A non-structured default would be very problematic for the economies in Europe.
Patrick Stone joining us as our economic expert here on Business Briefing. And, you know, it's interesting, Pat, last weekend's New York Times, they had a very interesting diagram of how all of this works and the flow of money and who's impacted. And MIT's Simon Johnson said, if Europe does go down, or Greece does go down, capital would flood the U.S. as a safe haven, which I guess should give us some relief because we'd be the safe haven for the world.
Well, we've already seen it. I mean, you know, that's kind of a, I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be disrespectful with this comment, but that's sort of a statement of the obvious. We've seen it with the emergence of the problem and the rush to buy U.S. treasuries. I mean, here we have our credit downgraded in the U.S., and you see the 10-year T-bill get down, I think it hit, 176 or 180. I mean, we've had a flood of capital to the U.S. already just because of the level of the problem. If there was a collapse, all the money would be here.
Okay, that's good to know. So you don't think the exposure of the European banks and any, you know, anything with our banks here would be a huge issue?
Well, I don't believe that our banks would be horribly threatened by this. I think the stress test that the U.S. banks underwent right after the financial crisis was very thorough and very honest, much more so than the stress test that the European banks are subject to. I do believe that there are money market funds and some investments that would be impacted by it, but I don't think the banking system would be threatened.
That's good to hear. Patrick Stone, the president of Williston Financial Group and WFG National Title, joining us with his economic insight, as he does every few weeks. And Pat, let's bring it back home now. And when we look at corporate America right now, 3M coming out this past week, and they're cutting their forecast. We're seeing some of the big players out there starting to maybe scale things back or make plans for restructuring. Should we be concerned when we see that?
Well, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that I think it is a recognition of the fact that we are in a long-term recovery. I mean, everybody keeps looking for an answer. They keep looking for politicians to solve problems. They keep looking for a turnaround. This deleveraging cycle we are in is a long-term cycle. And I think business, major corporations, have realized that there's not going to be a tremendous amount of growth, either domestically or worldwide, for the next couple of years. Everyone hopes it'll be sustainable. Everybody hopes it'll be at a level necessary to at least marginally reduce unemployment. But I think large corporations are saying, "Hey, you know, we had some significant savings through cutbacks and increases in production. Now, for the long haul, we're going to have to really tighten the belt." So I guess yes and no. I don't think it's draconian. We're going to see draconian reactions, but it is going to be a prolonged, methodical recovery.
You're probably getting tired of saying that, aren't you?
Yeah, I've been saying it for quite a while.
Well, we get so many mixed signals, and that leads me to my next question, where we do see some signs of life out there. You see some, you mentioned liquidity coming through the market by maybe next spring. You see some of the indicators out there that, hey, it doesn't look like we will go into a recession. I said that's the Pat Stone called it department, because you mentioned that probably a couple months ago here, that we would not go into a recession. So you get some mixed signals, and it tends to kind of throw you off a little bit.
Well, we're as human beings, we want a yes, no, we want a up, down, we want a black, white. We want absolute answers to everything, and we want it right now. And that's not the world we're in. It's very, very difficult, because every time there's positive news, we look for it to accelerate. And when there's negative news, we look for it to crash and burn. It is hard right now. This is an environment that none of us have been in. I shouldn't say none of us have been in. In some ways, it's very akin to the 70s. You know, the 70s were stagflation. We had a prolonged period of nothingness. Now, we didn't have in a way, I guess we did have a financial crisis before it. We had price and wage freezes, which created a very profound imbalance. But we didn't have the impact economically that we have now. But we are in an environment which is probably going to be, you know, I would be very, very surprised if it isn't a full 10-year cycle before we look back on this and say, hey, you remember when? So this thing started, it started 2007, 2008. It'll probably be 2015, 2016 before we're not playing this game. And I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I hope it happens faster than that. I think it's going to be a long, slow, incremental improvement.
It's a reality check we all need. More with Patrick Stone. We'll talk about the local market when we come back.